All right, welcome back to Two Kims.
One Pod.
I'm one of your hosts, Peter Kim.
And I'm your other host, Unji Kim.
Welcome back to the pod, folks. So nice for you to be here. And also, thank you for watching our live Los Angeles show on YouTube,
yes.
Guys.
Yes.
Like, that's getting some numbers.
Okay.
Yeah, very cool. Like, our YouTube presence is pretty new. And
yes.
To see that many people watching our live show, it really gives me hope that, like, people want to see us live more. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they're the haters that came up and they were like, one person's, I don't know if you've been reading the comments, but, you know, I sent you a screenshot of the comments that are left under my YouTube videos, which is all versions of, hey, Bobby Lee fell off, or like Bobby Lee finally came out. One of my favorite comments was Jobby Less.
Yes, which that was so ruthless. It's like, it was so funny.
It was
fucking brutal.
It was so brutally on point and so honest that I was like, wow, absolutely read and heard.
To be read to filth in this way.
Absolute filth and dirt. Like, I'm in the compost bin. There were some funny things. What did they say about, they were like, oh, it's like the broke ass version of Bobby Lee and Ali Wong or something like that. Like, people are having fun, but I'm really happy that you guys like the LA show. And you know, some really nice comments about, our crowd work. People loved our crowd work, our dynamic, and, how much we had fun with, we have fun on the road, guys. When we're live, we're playing games, we're doing crowd work, we're roasting.
Yeah. I mean, we're comedians.
Believe it or not.
Mostly live. This is sort of like this actually started off as a political podcast.
It sure did. And now that we're rounding back, can you believe we're rounding back towards Trump 2? And
it's really giving like Ouroboros, like snake eating itself, sort of like, oh, this is, you know, it is eerie. I mean, even with the Super Bowl being a replay
of the two teams.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
As the same as the election.
Yeah.
Really, like, kind of blew my mind.
It's like, how is this not written? Like, how is this not a simulation?
Because literally, we're just talking about this on the Patreon, but like, talking about the lack of imagination. Like, we had to reboot this.
Honey.
Like, we had to reboot reality. They're like, let's try that. That one was a good year.
2020? I mean, truly. Yeah, we were talking 2020? About mitigating risk. Like, America's really like, no new friends. Like, truly, just the two oldest motherfuckers alive.
Like, you know, like, you don't remember how no one was happy with anything? Let's try that again.
Let's do that one more time.
Because we know it works.
Yeah. Because, like, we went through pandemic and we were like, let's try it again. Like, yeah.
This, like, literally, it feels like, like.
I know. Fast forward to, like, the fucking, a new coronavirus coming. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know.
I mean. So,
it's rough out here, folks, and everybody is running around with their heads cut off. Let me tell you, literally no one I know is okay. Everyone needs to be jailed or committed to a mental hospital, myself included. I feel cray-cray in the nay-nay.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny because, you know, Peter has been, you know, you've been texting me and it's like, you know, at a pitch, right? Like,
yeah.
In terms of end of days, end of industry, like, what are we going to do?
I mean, the OpenAI Sora alone, the video capabilities of.
You're talking about moving to Austin. You want to move to Duluth. You're trying to make moves.
I'm trying to unplug.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get out of the matrix, honey.
And so.
And according to, you know, everyone around us, including the people we pay to represent us, they're saying, maybe you should. I mean, we talked about this on Patreon. Go check out the Patreon for all the dirt. But Unji and I came up with like a beautiful pitch, blah, 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 for a great show. And basically the response was, maybe you should do it yourself.
This is such a good idea. You should really believe in it and do it by yourself.
And find some money. And I'm like, cool. Hollywood is dead.
I mean, I've been getting a lot of texts, and I will say you're right, Peter. And it's not just people in the industry. I will say generally there seems to be a malaise and an ennui about the state of the world and, you know, like a level of desperation. And
yeah,
it's so strange because it's not just for Hollywood, even though it is a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And
I think every industry is hurting, it feels like.
Yeah, people every are single really one. Going through it. People are yeah. really going through it right now. And
it's almost like perfect soup for like fascist revolution. You know what I mean? Because that's usually what it takes, like people being so oppressed and so economically troubled that they're yes. like anything but this. Historically, so that's how it happens.
Yeah. Like it is, there are things, I think it's like the, I was just thinking about this, but like the January 6th stuff is very mm-hmm. reminiscent of something called the Beer Hall Rebellion or something like that. It's called like Bear Pushed. It's during the Weimar Republic before the Nazis came to power.
Uh-huh. Are we talking about 1920s Germany?
Yes, 1920s, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's very similar in terms of like political mm-hmm. situation. The economic situation is very different, but, mm-hmm. You know, comparable in terms of like some parts of the country, I guess. But, yeah. you know, it's, I think this is what's going to sound crazy to you, Peter. And this is coming from a lifelong pessimist, mm-hmm. a emo girly, a person that is historically very sarcastic, deeply
depressed, dark,
like clinically.
Yeah.
And that I think one, having children has made me have more hope. I need to have more hope.
You can't just give up.
I can't just give up. I can't be like, oh, the world is fucked. Let's just all lay down together.
Yeah. And, like some moms for sure do that.
But I cannot. So it's funny, but like just to play some context and maybe make you feel a little better. Uh-huh. There is a year in history that has been recognized by historians as the worst year.
Okay. Meaning, it was the worst year for people, like humanity?
Everything.
Okay.
Everything. Life on Earth.
Okay.
Life on Earth was the worst.
Uh-huh. In 1994.
No.
Because I'll tell you what, eighth grade was tough for me.
I mean, this is it right here. Like, okay, because this is a bit I've been working on. But uh-huh. anyway, but the actual historical year that has been agreed by historians is the year that is the worst in humanity, in history, on Earth, is 536 AD.
Okay.
536.
Why?
There is literally a Wikipedia entry that just says 536 because it is historically the worst year ever.
Okay.
And it was a huge... The reason why is because there was a huge volcanic eruption, Krakatoa. I think it's like maybe the second one. And there were... What just happened?
You did this and balloons went up. I was like, wait, what is happening? Are we getting hacked by North Korea?
Like AI was like, Krakatoa, time for... Yeah.
Celebration. Yeah.
No, it was there was a huge volcanic eruption, like so big that the ash from the eruption covered
the sky,
mm-hmm. the atmosphere, entered the atmosphere mm-hmm. and affected farming mm-hmm. and food for the entire year.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So life on Earth was hellish.
Okay.
Literally hellish.
Yeah.
We're not there.
Okay, cool. You know what? You always need to find room to be grateful. I guess we're not there yet. The sky hasn't been scorched yet.
I mean, there have been fires, but it's not like that. I mean,
not like that. Sure. Yeah, it could always get worse, is what you're saying. Yeah. Just remember.
That's the kind of optimism I have. It can always get worse.
That's a form of pessimism to me. It's like,
for me?
For you, it's like, hey, rejoice because it could always get worse, right?
Yes.
For me, it's don't rejoice. It's going to get worse.
See, this is a half. this is a cup half full, and this is a half.
It's because you have kids. That's the main difference. It's because I don't have kids, and I'm like, honey, don't smile, bitch. It's about to get worse.
I'm like, it always get.
No, I do like edge on cynical, but like I do have hope because, listen, throughout all of this, and by this I mean all the bullshit that anyone has experienced while being alive.
Yeah.
Me personally, I've experienced the worst times. Like, I've had my 536. You know what I mean?
Well, that's a good way of describing it. Have you had your 536? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think everyone, I mean, I guess if you haven't, you're going through it now. But.
And if you haven't, it's coming.
It's coming. Yeah. But I've been through my 536.
When was your 536?
It was my entire childhood. With my dad, with my family.
No, I mean, what would you say?
Like
the literal worst year.
1994, yeah. I think. Like, truly, I think that wasn't a joke. Like, when I was 13 was probably the worst year. And then it got better and better from there. But, I've been in hell, mm-hmm. let's just say. So, like, while I don't want to get back there, it's not that bad. And
you can appreciate purgatory for what it is.
Yeah.
It's lukewarm.
Sometimes you want to be bored.
Yes.
We're not going to be bored this year, though. This is going to be a hellish year. I'll probably.
Yeah. I
mean,
like,
no matter what happens.
I mean, truly, it is a little. My 536 was 1996. So 2 years after you.
Freshman year of high school.
That was. Freshman sophomore year of high school was my worst. My hell. Wow. And my 536. So this is the reason why I also feel this gratitude for every other year since.
Yeah.
And even with how hellish life is and how hellish the world is. Yeah, it's not that.
It's not
and
that.
And can I tell you, this is the bit I've been trying out.
Yeah.
And it's been. So I'll tell it to you. So I have friends that have been talking about how this is like end of days. They can't get out of this like spiral. And I have, I explained like in Venezuela, there's been 3 coups in Venezuela since 2019. Like full coups.
Yes.
Like patriots trying to topple that dictator. Mm-hmm. Full coups. 3. We had 1, which was a mob of monster drinkers, right? Like just, it was a passing little boop. Whatever. Mm-hmm. And you guys are all reading this news on an electric grid, on an electrical grid that always works. You know what I mean?
That on a Wi-Fi signal that's always 5G.
It's always 5G. And it's like, it reads like the girl that is in rehab for pot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
It's very much that. So the girl that's in rehab for pot has been popping, but like the rest of it, I don't know how to like condense it, but like it is like a thing. And I don't know if it's so much my perspective just being older, which is really becoming a thing, by the way, because I'm around all these young people. Can I tell you something crazy? This is like, maybe this is an audience question as well. Do you remember where you were on 9/11?
Yes. That's so funny. Yesterday, I just tried a new 9/11 bit. That's so funny. Where was I?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll actually do a bit for you because it's part of a thing where I go into like a rude awakening thing, mm-hmm. you know? And I've had the rudest awakening ever. Like literal 9/11. I was a sophomore in college in my dorm room and my mom calls me at 8:15 in the morning. I like ding, ding, ding. I pick up the phone and I'm like, hello, and she's like, we're at war. And I was like, what? And like the bitch, I'm like, drama queen. You're like,
Yeah.
At the first tower. Like, it's not even the fucking second one, and she's going nuts. Wait for the second tower to drop, bitch. Like, the fuck? Declaring war. But that's how I was woken up on 9/11. I woke up to my mom screaming, "We are at war."
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So, were you at SUNY or were you Michigan?
Michigan.
Okay. So, did you have to go to class that day?
No. Yeah.
Really?
All classes were canceled, and there was a candlelight vigil at night, and everyone was trying to hook up because there were all these sad girls. So all my friends were like, "This is the time. Go to the vigil.
Get that 9/11 pussy.
Get that trauma pussy." I gotta write that in.
I mean, like, because truly, like, okay.
Hilarious.
That's crazy. So, yeah. I woke up on 9/11, like hungover, and turned on the TV because my roommate's mom had called. My mom always called. This used to be a bit that I did, but my mom would call like all the time to try to get me up for class, and she would start calling at 7:30.
Oh my
and
the god!
And she would leave voice messages, and it would just be like 7:30, beep. 은지야, 일어나야지. 은지 나가야지. 학교 가야지.
Oh,
and then she call it like she call
so
it
annoying.
She call it 7:45 like 은지야, 일어나라. And then like, and then at 8 it's her 은지야,
빨리 일어나. 이러고 씨.
Yeah, what? And like her just screaming. So like that was my roommate was like really understood so much of me because she lived through this because she was traumatized. Hilarious. And I was just like, whatever.
Was she white?
Yeah, yeah. Of course. An Asian person would be like, call your mom.
Yeah. She would call her mom. She would call your mom like, Ajumma! Kuma jum jonayo.
Yeah. Like, she was like traumatized.
Yeah.
And she like apologized to me and she was like, I'm so sorry this is happening to you. Like, this is whatever. So, but her mom called and was like, the worst thing in American history is happening right now. Turn on the television. So we turn on the TV and I'm packing a bowl as the TV is turning on. And I'm literally ripping the bong as I watch the second plane hit the tower.
Hit?
Like literally through a haze of smoke.
You're exhaling smoke and then smoke is billowing out of the tower.
Yes.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
Crazy. Crazy, right? And then I went, classes were not canceled.
What school did you go to?
Loyola. I mean, because we were in Chicago. Whoa. So the downtown campus was fully, like, canceled because everyone was nervous that, like, any large, like, Willis, like,
something else might happen. Yeah.
Yes. So those were for sure canceled. But, like, you know, like, up north, they're like, yeah, come to class. We're going to talk about it. Like, and I was just like, and what's fucked is I was talking about this to one of my Gen Z friends, and she was like, that's crazy. They canceled classes after Trump was elected.
No way. That's hilarious. What the
funny?
Fuck? A day of remembrance.
A day of remembrance. And they're like, and so they're like, they cancel classes, but like, we welcome you to join us if you want to talk about your feelings. And like, so
that's,
just would gather.
That's the Gen Z 9/11 is 2016.
Trump. Yeah, Trump.
Okay, I kind of honestly get it, but like, fuck off.
Exactly. So this is what I mean. So this is the bit. Is this good, right?
Yeah.
But my point, my angle on it, I think might be like, I kind of wish we were something in the middle, right? Because
it's too large of a swing.
For me, I'm like, I would have loved to have gotten the day off. Like, one, the world had changed.
Yeah.
And instead, I was like fucking ripped. Yeah. World religions class. You know what I mean? Like,
that's like, on you. Yeah. Then no one told you to take that fucking bomb rip. You woke up to your mom screaming on your answering machine. You were like, fuck this. I cannot face the day sober.
I can't hear one more. Oh, yeah! Fucking raw. Like, I can't do it raw.
Nah, you can't raw dog that. Yeah. That's rough.
I mean, like, it's like this disparity between how, like, I think the youth experience trauma and how they're allowed to process it. Mm. And there is a swing. And I think equal parts, it's healthy and good. but also the world simply is not kind enough to permit that.
Interesting. So we're like babying them. They're being bubbled.
I don't think we're doing anything. I think they're doing it to themselves.
Well, I meant we as like the royal we.
Sure, sure. Yeah. I mean, like, I think that they, I guess, babying themselves. I think that they're...
Well, it's like if the school administration, when we went during 9/11 for us, was not, or for you, not canceling school for you.
Yeah.
But like, the Gen Z administration is like, aww. Take time off to really reflect what it means to be in Trump's America. You know, like that's like that. That means like the admin has become more sensitive towards that, I guess. Like,
yes.
We became their administrators or whatever. I guess maybe it's like the because we went through 9/11, we're like, no, you need a time. You need some time off. But like you would never do that.
No.
If you were in charge, you'd be like, fuck you, come to class. Trump's not running into your building, blowing it up.
Like, also, what kind of, let's see what kind of policies he's actually going to do. I mean, yeah.
What can
right.
he get passed through Congress? but also, we, I feel like we have. We have like more, we have the burden of knowing better, which sucks. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like I always say like the millennial generation is fucked because we are Gen X-y boomery in a way where we know a world pre-internet. So there is this world that we saw ourselves in and started like kind of like daydreaming ourselves as adults in this non-internet world, right? Like up till when did it come out?
Seventh
AOL
grade.
Came out like seventh grade, right?
Yeah.
So like sixth, seventh grade, which is basically puberty.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, in the throes of puberty, we're imagining an entire world based on the media that we are fed, which is like Hollywood, TV, the news, whatever, right? And then
We saw a future as adults full of using the phone book.
Yes. And like ripping CDs.
Yes. The truest expression of love.
Yeah. Making a playlist. Like, yeah, now it's making a playlist, but it used to be a mix CD or mix
tape. Yes, yeah.
So we had a very analog view of our future, and we had to hard pivot out of that into... Still, I think for me personally, trying to figure who that person is in a digital world. So like, and I am constantly feeling the drag of that, of me trying to figure out like how to exist in this world that Gen Z and Gen A are pretty much born into. Like they don't, like as they become sentient or whatever, like they get a screen in front of them. You know what I mean? So like that's how they started dreaming their world is digitally. So like they're in their proper place. But for us, there's this like chasm, I think, or like, you know, like a metaphorical uncanny valley where we're like, what is real? Like, I don't understand. Like it keeps phasing in and out this analog, digital, because I still hold on to a lot of the like older view of humanity of like, this is how you connect. This is how you, you know, commune. This is how you treat each other, blah, blah. But like kids have like a totally different view of that. I mean, you know, your kids like a lot of kids don't even like play with kids anymore. They're just like online.
They play like Minecraft like separately or parallel
in
to
different
each other.
Homes.
Yeah.
But they're hanging.
Yes.
Yeah. That's like the normal. Social.
Yes.
Right? Isn't that crazy that like now if you say like, hey, kid, do you want to go meet up with this other kid and play? They'll be like, what? That's so fucking ick and weird. Like, why would we do that?
Yes. But they still do that. But they also play Minecraft together. Mm-hmm. in the separately. Same space. Yeah, in the same space. But this is the thing. What's strange is that you're right. Technology, socially, we've like progressed into the space that is outside of the mortal coil.
Yeah.
Right? Outside of the world of bones and guts and skin.
Brick and mortar.
However, unfortunately, we are still bound by the skin and guts and blood. No matter how much we can imagine ourselves outside of it, mm-hmm. the unfortunate truth is that we are still tethered to our bodies. And our bodies still require sunlight. Our bodies still require human interaction. Mm-hmm. Like, if you think about during pandemic, Peter, I think that I saw so many more people than I typically do now. Because there were so many Zooms, so many get-togethers. I saw digitally and socialized more with more groups of friends in the first 6 or 7 months of pandemic than I had in many years.
Ever. That makes sense.
Was it satisfying?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
This is what I mean.
But you did it because you felt like you had to. Whereas non-pandemic, you just don't ever feel the need.
No, but I'm
you're
saying
like, I'll
like
see
that,
them later.
But I'm saying like that even though that digital interaction was social and it was supposed to replace that, it did not actually fulfill you.
No. It's kind of like our podcast, the way we do this.
Yeah.
Sure, we do it. It's great. But it's never like the live. It's just not. And it being in the same room, there's a vibe, there's an energy that you ride together, there's a thing you click into, there's a breath, and that's true with everything, all type of interactions that like
and this is the reason why young people are flocking to live events. Live events are having sort of a renaissance because of this.
Yeah,
because young people that are I think the oldest end of like the what they call the iPad generation, or I guess they're Gen Zs, but like the youngest of them who I teach, they are all like kind of like over it.
Over what? Digital?
Like the digital, like they all
are. They are, like flip phone-y?
No. They're not like that. It's just kind of like they I think they understand the effect of it.
Mm-hmm. Like they're ahead of it in a way we're not. Yeah.
I think you and I
are slaves to it. Like, absolutely. I wish I was ahead of it, but I'm not. I'm like deep into it, and I don't know even why. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, I found myself in this like hole, and I'm like, how do I get out of this? And like, I'm not even good at digging myself out of it. You know what I mean? Like, I have no shovel, but I'm in the hole. That's how I
mean, like, how did I get here?
Yeah, how did
was
I get here?
Was
get me out.
I mean, I will say that we are sort of uniquely
positioned.
Trapped.
Yes,
yeah,
we are.
Because
we are early. You're right.
We're thrown in. Because one, yes, early, actually late to the social media digital game. Mm-hmm. Secondly, we have to be here.
That's like, right. That's right. We chose it.
Yeah, we have
I was
to
just
be
saying how like there are like 82s like Paris,
yeah,
like our years. My friends back home, I'm sure you have friends like this.
Yes.
Who had met their partners early and had kids early.
Yeah.
They have literally no presence.
Yes.
Online. They just live the analog life.
Yes.
You and I chose to enter entertainment, public facing.
Yes.
So therefore, we have to be here. And that's the saddest statement of all, is that we chose to be here. Now all I could think about is just finding someone young and smart enough to hitch my wagon to. Like, that's all I have left, because I don't think I can personally do this on my own. Like, I need help from a savvier, younger, cooler, funnier, more interesting person that I could just be their dad or something. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I'm like.
You're looking to daddy?
Look at my hair. I'm like fully marching into my 50s.
You're not even trying to you're not trying to piggyback. You're trying to daddy back.
Daddy back.
So you need to have someone leap onto you.
Yes. And I run.
You run. Yeah. And they'll just tell you where to go. They'll hit you on the side of the head.
Yeah.
Turn
kick
here,
me,
turn
kick
there.
Me with their spurs. Yeah. Daddy back.
I mean, like, I do think that, one, Peter, you can't figure it out. Two, yeah, I was just thinking about it today about how different comedy looks from even the beginning of pandemic. Like,
oh,
radically
God.
Different.
Oh my God, yeah. Absolutely.
And I was thinking about it because it was like we watched the twilight of the Twitter stars.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we had already seen the twilight of Vine people. Right?
Oh my God.
Peter, yes. I'm going to walk you through it, right? Uh-huh. We already watched the twilight of Vine people, and I can name to you about three or four, and there are probably more than that, Vine stars mm-hmm. whose careers actually started from Vines.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say of the three or four that I know, two still have careers. They're writers. They're like in rooms. Fully.
Okay, okay.
And I think a couple of them are like became our TikTok people or YouTube people now.
Sure. Too. That translates.
Yes, absolutely. Right. So you're seeing it. But it's like you saw the twilight of it. Like all those people, some of them made it. Some of them didn't make it onto the next platform, which was Twitter. Mm-hmm. And remember Twitter stars, right? People just like catapulting mm-hmm. from one viral tweet to like just being this
yes.
thing. And now
yes.
all of a sudden.
Uh-huh.
And then it was like this front facing thing on Twitter. And then mm-hmm. it was like boom, boom, boom. People just like getting plucked from Twitter
yes.
to write in rooms.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Huge, we saw the twilight of that, right?
Yes.
And then during at the beginning of pandemic, it mm-hmm. was TikTok.
Yes.
The, who is it? The black lady that was a cook?
Tabitha Brown.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
The lady who was Trump finally had a fucking special on Netflix. Susan Snyder? Sarah Cooper.
Oh, Sarah Cooper. Cooper. Yes, yes. That's right. Oh yeah,
I mean, like, so
Melissa
watching...
Melissa sings. Marissa sings. What's her name?
Melissa,
the one.
Melissa.
She's like dah, 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 dah. Like she. She puts on like ugly makeup and sings
oh,
like
yes.
a Muppet. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So.
Yeah. Okay. We've watched all that happen.
And so.
And yet we
like,
persist.
And so, I mean, but the thing is, we're watching we have seen the rise and fall of three different platforms mm-hmm. and people being.
And now it's
from
back
this.
To YouTube via podcast. And yes. that's twilighting now.
Yes.
We're seeing like the video podcast world starting to ebb out of financial liquidity. And that's what literally everyone's saying. There's no money in podcasts anymore. No one's buying ads anymore, blah, blah. So everyone's moving on to the next thing, which what is it?
I thought you knew.
I don't know what it is.
Do you know?
Twitch? Is it Twitch?
Yeah. I mean, there does seem to be a lot of things happening
on
Twitch.
A lot of things
sure.
happening on Twitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe
sure.
you should go on Twitch. But yeah, I mean, the platform is, for me, irrelevant. Right. Because I, as you said, you're watching the rise and fall of all these people within these platforms. The platforms just give you a chance to put your thing out there. Right.
Absolutely.
So like, you know, it's not really the platform. The platform just happens to be Vogue at that time. But these people would have popped off in some way or shape or form, I think, in other platforms. Like, you don't think Tabitha Brown would have popped off on Vine?
I think Tabitha would have.
That's what I mean. Like, or like,
I think there are a ton of TikTok people that would have never, like, they would have been.
But I'm talking about like the everlasting people, like the people who like last through the fad. I think would have picked up.
Yes.
Like Bo Burnham would have figured out how to do it on TikTok or something. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
They all kind of rise through the platform.
The cream will rise. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes. And our platform just happens to be live. That's where we shine.
It is.
And maybe that's what I mean about this like younger generation. Like, I hear me out. I see myself visually kind of facing this direction, north, let's say, right? And I'm saying, hey, everyone who's like around my age and older than me, like, look at me, look at me. I'm funny. I have opinions. Here are my takes. What do you think, right? But maybe I just have to turn around and face south and look at the people younger than me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm discounting anyone that's younger than me. I'm only looking at the people who are like, who have the money now, you know?
I see.
Maybe the strategy is turning around and focusing on the people that will have the money later. So like,
so what does that mean? Like when you say this, like
partnering, piggybacking, championing younger artists, up and coming artists,
sure.
You know, as opposed to like me trying to attach to a cloudy artist. Like, for example, me trying to open for Ronnie Chiang.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I should be fostering younger talent or more green talent to open for me or something like, I don't know. Like, I'm just trying to think, like, am I looking the wrong direction? Because it's not working. Either way, it's not really. I like how we started the podcast. The marketplace is like, no. So, you know, maybe there's a different market. And like we said, like, platforms have been changing and, you know, we put our stuff on platforms and stuff. But is it stupid to be like, oh, this is the new thing? I guess I'll get on that now, as opposed to like turning around and seeking out things that are not new yet or like not Twitter yet. You know what I mean? I think I'm too old to tell you exactly what it is, but I know what I'm doing right now is not working.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny, Peter. Like, I've literally had so many conversations lately with people who are, one, like, really feeling hopeless about the world, but not only about the world, but specifically about the industry and where they're, how places. They're failing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and their place in it and, like, how to move on, you know, either move on or like they're really having serious conversations about like quitting
Duluth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like just pulling the plug,
pulling out.
And
now when you say industry, are you talking about Hollywood or are you talking about comedy? Because very different.
I'm talking about comedy.
Oh, I'm not talking about comedy. I'm talking about Hollywood. I think comedy is comedy. Like if I could, meaning,
yeah,
that's the one thing that stayed consistent for me throughout this past decade and a half or whatever.
I think when they say comedy, they also mean show business.
I don't mean show business.
I think most of this, yeah, yeah. Same. Like I, okay. For me, it's that. But I think in their mind, it's the same thing.
I see.
Okay. So they want to get out. I've had multiple conversations with multiple people who wanting to do this. Get out. Like it's enough.
Tired.
Nothing. The algorithm is out to get me. No one. People. The way that people talk about the algorithm.
Yeah.
It's like the boogeyman. It's like it's the way that white people used to talk about like black people moving into their neighborhood.
Okay. The algorithm really is out to get me because let me tell you.
Like truly.
Like being like shadow banned or whatever.
Yes.
Yes.
And like it doesn't. It's like it's making the it makes the space bad. Like all this stuff. Like the it's like toxic.
But can I tell you right before you finish? Just an addendum to that.
Sure.
I do agree with what they're feeling, but I don't think the algorithm is out to get them or get us.
Sure.
I told you this theory that I had, right?
No.
Ads? Okay. If you ever buy ads,
uh-huh,
the algorithm will make sure that you keep buying ads. Meaning?
What does that mean?
Meaning, if you start buying ads on a platform like Instagram,
sure,
then it will forcibly lower your engagement on videos that so to push you to sponsor.
Oh,
that's their scheme. So they're saying, oh yeah, you like this feeling of quote, virality or exposure, sure. Pay for it, bitch.
But boosted,
that's what's happening.
But boosted content never goes viral.
It's not about virality. It's about like exposure, right? So sure. Like if your videos, let's say, get 10K usually, mm-hmm. if you buy an ad, it'll start making your videos get like 200 views, 300 views.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So that you go, wait, something's wrong. So that you start boosting it back up to 10K. You know what I mean?
See.
To get back
yeah, yeah.
to your equilibrium.
Oh.
It's insidious.
Yeah. I haven't thought about that, but maybe. I mean, like, I've stopped posting just because I've lost thousands of followers. Like,
oh,
every time I post,
I lose like 100 a day.
Yeah. I'm just like, what is happening?
Wait, what do you think that is?
I think they're all bots that get. Like
oh, that followed and then yeah. now is leaving. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably
and that's fine, yeah. but it's devastating to watch. Morale.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
to my morale.
Yes.
You know
exactly.
what I mean? Like,
uh-huh.
so, but that's fine. That means that the ones that stay are organic and good. Fine.
Yeah.
But, like, I think that the algorithm, like, is out to get them.
How do you feel about your friends saying that about the industry or about their place in the industry? What's your take on that?
I think that the algorithm and the way that people are like projecting onto the industry is just noise. Because the algorithm also, I think, is an unfeeling, incompassionate, like it is totally without feeling, or it is simply binary numbers and stuff, and that's why it's so annoying.
That's what they want you to think.
You think it's a Wizard of Oz who's
No, I don't think so.
This bitch, like
no. But my point is that people, like artists and creators, especially in our field, get frustrated because their engagement is not as high.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about, right? If their engagement was normal.
They can't figure it out because they can't figure it out, or the algorithm hasn't yet found them. There is something biblical about the algorithm, right? It is something beyond our knowing. Like, truly, because I'm as someone who has gone viral, like whatever, like mini viral, I have no idea. I have no idea.
Right.
There is no knowing.
But I'm a little confused. Like, are people upset that they're not, quote, going viral? Because that's not an indicator of success of your...
No, but they want to get more followers. And that is a huge way of doing it. That is the primary way of doing it.
Sure.
In a short period of time. Everyone's looking to get rich quick, get thin now.
Exactly. Exactly. So if you're not getting rich quick and that's making you quit... I mean, then maybe you should. You're just trying to get it quick.
No, but these aren't people that have been... I'm talking about people who are like over a decade in and are fucking doing it. I'm talking about people who are like could headline and do fully, are really fucking fully funny people. Like,
but they're not getting booked.
They're getting booked because they're good and everyone knows them in the city. But I'm talking about getting booked and... getting like the
touring.
Other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And being able to make a living doing this.
Yeah.
And
it's so
hard.
It's so hard. If you don't have anything else, it's so hard, because if that's the only thing you're doing, you might need to find something else because it's saturated. Like everyone and their mothers are touring. So like there's only a certain amount of brick and mortar spaces you can get up on. And literally everyone is out here. So like
But they're so devastated by this reality because the injustice of it is that they are more competent at doing the thing,
mm-hmm.
hands down.
Yeah.
Than
someone who is selling tickets.
Yes, and
exactly.
It's because of this algorithm, right? So that is what's infuriating to them. But it's like also like the business has always been like that. It's always unfair. There's this shit. It's capricious.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? You know, and instead of the algorithm, it used to be gatekeepers who mm-hmm. were just as capricious, and we didn't know why they made decisions at all. It's the same uncertainty, the same like sort of seeking the validation of this like unknowing thing is all same thing driving people crazy. And even with the industry or the algorithm, what have you, it is always, and you know this when we talk about this, like you can do nothing but your, but what you do. Mm-hmm. What else can you, you know? And if that means that you have to get a regular job for a while, I mean, I've never not had a regular job.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Is that like, if that is that, that's what they're saying is like, oh, I'm pulling out, meaning I have to get a regular job. Okay. That's not, I don't think that's pulling out. I think that's supporting what you want to do. Now, if that's not something you want to do anymore, then that's a different story. But like, if you're pulling out, if you're saying you're pulling out of the industry, that means you don't want to do the work anymore. Right?
Like, you don't want to jizz. Yeah, you don't want to pump.
That's, and that's, I get that. You know, people, that's a normal attrition, you know, like for people. And it sucks that people who are good at it feel that way. But I get that because the market is so saturated and it's changed. Like you used to be able to be a straight white guy from Chicago who was funny and a 45-minute set and make a, you know, a middle income living touring around the country. But that no longer exists is my point. Like it's not that it's harder for you to get booked because you don't have a virality. It's just less opportunities out there. Because there's more competition. So like, unless you go to a place where your competition is not as big and you could still make a living, you know, is there like a European Comedy League or something? Like, I don't know.
Is there an arena league for comedy in Canada? Yeah.
Canadian Comedy League. But I get that. I get that. Yeah. It's hard to make a living off of anything, much less live performance. So, like, you know, if you have to get another job, you have to get another job. That's just it. Like, and the people who are able to sell out arenas will do that. And it'll all, like, filter out, you know? Like, I think it ebbs and flows. In the, like, 12 years I've been doing it, it's comedy's gone through so many iterations.
Yes.
And so many, like, ebbs and flows and, like who's hot and who's not because of whatever the fuck reason, you know? And like, yeah, you're right. If you want to do the work, you just like put your head down and do the work and not really care about like what other people are doing or whatever, you know? Like, and if you can't get booked, like I feel for whoever you're talking about because
it's not just one person. It's many people,
because in LA, it's hard to get stage time. It's Chicago's way easier. So if they're having a problem out there, they would be drowning out here. So like
they're not having a problem getting booked. It's more like
the making a living.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean is that like it's a microcosm of that. Like if you're getting booked a lot in your city, it means you're a popular guy who or gal, whatever, and then you know you probably get booked a lot and then you go out and tour and come back home and blah blah blah. But in LA it's only driven by clout. You know? So like it's very hard here and people out here are saying the same thing that you're hearing. It's like, I'm unplugging. I got to get out of here, especially because the exorbitant rent and mortgage and the cost of living. I told you the fucking Charmin rolls the other day, like 29, like what the fuck?
No, you said it was $30.
$29. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking crazy. Yeah. So like, how could you be paying that and also not booking? Like, I get it.
Okay, speaking of, I did book.
Oh, what?
I booked this commercial. I'm going to Indianapolis next week.
That's so funny. I was just talking to someone about Indianapolis this morning about how that's so crazy. About how, what is the commercial?
It's for I don't know. It's for like a bank.
Oh, okay. Indianapolis. Yeah. My first commercial I ever booked was shot in Indianapolis, and it was for the Four Winds Casino.
Oh, yes, I remember. Yeah.
I love that town. It's a cool town. Good food.
I'm going to try to get into the comedy club, but like...
Oh, yeah. That's
yeah, great. This and my Lotto ad got re-upped.
Nice. That's awesome. Congrats. Yeah.
I mean, that's these so are cool. like... This is like... you know,
money
abundance.
Flows freely and easily
yes,
to us.
Yes.
Now. Yes.
Let's keep it going.
I love that.
So, I mean, it is all of it is like this stuff aside, the writing of it and me, I have really been trying to make time to write a lot lately. And it's really, I kind of cracked a little bit of my mind because I'm not really forcing myself to write. What I have been doing, Peter, is really opening, because one, I'm realizing I'm so old and my life is so boring that I'm done. Like, I kind of look at my husband and I'm like, do you want to fight?
Because you have nothing to complain about.
I have nothing to like think of. I'm like, whatever. So I've been like actively kind of, you know, seeking connection and going out of my way to kind of try to experience things. And yeah, I just totally forgot that, you know.
You have to live
people,
a life.
Yeah, and people are still interesting. And yeah, I mean, can I tell you something? I think that when you're young, you hate people. Like, you don't believe in people. And you kind of think that you can change institutions. Like, you have this, like, naivete about, like, the future and mm-hmm. how institutions can change. Mm-hmm. And I think that as you get older, you realize that institutions will never change and you start to believe more in people. Mm-hmm. Like, just in, like, the compassion people hold for each other in real life. Mm-hmm. But I will say that is starting to change a little bit given some of my experiences with live audiences lately.
What do you mean? Are they
people
getting,
are really out of pocket? Like, it's fucking.
They're getting
crazy.
Rowdy.
Yeah, some. I will say this: clubs that are, I feel for whoever is doing security or wait staff at clubs right now. You are doing God's work, and you will be rewarded in the next iteration of whatever. I hope. I pray. You deserve it. So, yeah. Like, it's
no
truly,
for sure. Servers out there. So. Sorry for what we're doing.
But yeah.
And thank you for your service.
But I mean, truly, so I won't go too much into detail, but at a big club recently, like they tried to kick out these people that wouldn't stop talking. Mm-hmm. It was so crazy. House lights went up.
Whoa.
Show fully stopped for over 30 minutes.
Whoa. Drunks?
Absolutely.
To what, were they
three yes, sheets
screaming?
Three sheets, like screaming at personnel, like just wild. The Karening, like one of the women in the couple started video recording herself being out of pocket. It was wild, where she was like she's filming herself. She was filming herself pushing another. Like, it was like, bitch, what are you recording? And then they. And then they called the police.
They called the police on the club? For what? For trying to have a show?
These people just kicked us out for being rowdy. Can you believe? Yeah. Like, it was just crazy.
Chicago police, 911's like, sure, we'll be there.
Like, bitch, get nightmare. A grip.
What a nightmare. Yeah. That sucks. I know. It sucks for people who work entertainment and fucking food service or anything like that. Like, people suck. And as you say, like, as people are being driven out for more analog experiences, like, I hope, like, less people are, like, enraged and drinking at those places mm-hmm. and more just, like, looking for community and art. Because I understand why people get like that, because they're having... That's not about the comedy. They just had a shitty day or whatever, or a week, and it's spilling out in this form.
Absolutely.
And you know, the world's tough right now, so a lot of people are having shitty days. So, like,
oh my God, look at you, Peter, having so much empathy for these people.
Fucking be careful out there.
Like, having no empathy for our reps.
Yeah. Fuck them. I'm not paying these psychos. All right. Thanks so much for listening to Two Kims, One Pod. Check out the Patreon. Leave us a review if you like our conversations, which are absolutely free. And the Patreon has a lot more... behind the scenes, a lot more tea, a lot more scandalo, and all the stuff that will absolutely help me lose my career. So go check that out, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.